But start out this time on our prayer life. If you had to rate your prayer life on 1 to 10, what would your number be? 1 being the worst, 10 being the greatest. Your prayer life right now, as it is, 1 to 10, what would you rate it? 1 to 10. How about your desire for your prayer life to be more than what it is right now? Would you desire to have a better prayer life than you have right now? Well, I've talked to mature Christians, and I've talked to new Christians, and I've talked to Christians who was really on fire for the Lord, and one thing's in common, most people will tell you they could need improvement in their prayer life. You never become an expert on prayer. You never come to the point where you say, I don't need any help with prayer. I'm satisfied where I'm at. I'm good to go. No, prayer is something that we always need to work on. It's something we always need to look at. It is a discipline, but it's a devotion as well. And it also brings power into our Christian walk. Prayer, in its simplest form, is asking God to get involved in your life. That's what prayer is. Prayer is communicating to God. Prayer is going to God and speaking or communicating with Him. Prayer takes us to speak to God, talk to God, and share with God. Now, the disciples saw something in Jesus' life, His prayer life, that was missing in their life. Now, they had heard the simple prayers in the temple. They heard the rituals. They heard the vain repetitions. They had prayed the prayers. They had seen the prayers. They had mouthed them, but there was no power in them. It was just like talking to a wall. It was just like their prayers was getting no higher than the ceilings. I don't know if you ever feel like that. When you're praying, sometimes you're praying, and God, my prayers are getting no higher than that ceiling right there. That you have no power. You have no sense of power in your prayer. But when Jesus prayed, they saw power. When Jesus prayed, they saw dead men come to life. They saw blind men see. They saw deaf men hear. When Jesus prayed, they knew there was something different there. Like, there was power in Jesus' prayer, and the disciples had a great, great desire. We begin our whole series with a desire. God, teach me to pray. Lord Jesus, teach me to pray. Because my weak, broke down, pitiful prayer life needs to be like yours, right? That's what your desire should be. Like, my prayers should need to have the power like Jesus' prayers had power. And, you know, that's the way life leads you, is sometimes you need power in prayer. You need power in prayer for your life. You need power in prayer for your kids' life. You need power in prayer for the situations you get in your life. And let me tell you, when you have the power of prayer, it changes things. It makes a difference. It is something that will change your walk and your joy and your peace with God when you have power in your prayer. And so the disciples asked Christ, teach us to pray, because they wanted power in prayer like Jesus had power in His prayer. And I hope that's your desire. That's why I started this series in my own life, because personally, I wanted more power in my prayer life. And I wanted more power, and I wanted to see how Christ prayed so that we could pray like that. So Christ did an example of prayer. He showed us a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. It's a disciples' prayer that you can pray, I can pray. There's nothing wrong with praying this prayer. I've said this before. Courtney has already memorized it. When we sit down, she prays through this prayer. I've said this prayer before, but it's not a prayer that you just repeat all the time. It's more of a format, or it's more of a model prayer that we can use to guide our prayer life, to use our prayer life. And so as we work through this, we've seen how we can use it to guide our prayers. It begins with our Father. And may we never forget the relationship we have in prayer. That when we go to God, we're going to Him. He is our Father. He is someone who has an open ear to us. He is not up in heaven, shut us out, don't want to hear from us because He's busy or He don't want a relationship with you. No, He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to hear from you. You know, have you ever asked something to someone you feel like you're bothering them all the time? You know what I mean? Like you go to someone, you want to ask a question, you go, man, I don't really want to ask them because they're, you know, they think I'm bothering them, right? Or her, right? They don't want to hear it because I'm bothering her, I'm bothering them. Listen, God's not up there saying, you're bothering me. I don't want to hear from you. No, He's your loving Heavenly Father. He is a Father, our Father in heaven, who has the resources of heaven. You see, when we ask God to get involved, we are asking His resources. Because there's an issue or a problem in our life that we cannot resolve. If we could resolve it in our own strength and our own power, we wouldn't need God's power or God's strength. So when we call out on God, who's in heaven, we're saying, God, we need your resources. We need your wisdom. We need your power. We need your resources to get involved in our life. So no matter what your situation is, no matter where you're at, no matter how bad it is, when we go to God, we're calling out to Him who rules and reigns from heaven. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe it's in your marriage. You think, you know what? My marriage needs this and there's nothing I can do about it. Guess what? If you can't do anything about it, God can do something about it. That's exactly where He wants you to be, because we need to rely on Him and His resources, His power. Maybe you're in a situation you don't understand. You know, have you ever been somewhere where you just say, God, it was all lined up and everything was supposed to be perfect, and I just don't understand that, how that didn't work. You know, you don't need your wisdom. You need God's wisdom. And you got to go to God and say, God, I can't understand it, but I'm asking you from heaven to give me the wisdom to understand what happened. That's what we need. We need God's wisdom. We need God's power. We need His strength. We need God to get involved in our life. When we go to God in prayer, we're saying, God, you are in heaven. You have the resources. You have the power. You have the wisdom. We want you to get involved in our lives. So when we call out on God, we're calling out to God who is able. We're calling out to God who can do something about it. A God who can get involved in our lives. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Though we're making a proclamation. You know, there's a lot of things in your life that we have that we make proclamation of, right? Like a lot of times when you get down towards Gainesville, like when we went on vacation down towards Interlochen, Gainesville, you see signs everywhere. You see orange and blue everywhere, right? And you see signs say, this is Gator Country. You know what I mean? Like you see stuff everywhere that proclaim, this is Gator Country. This is this. This is that. And they're proclaiming a name, or they're proclaiming their loyalty to a fan or to a sports team. Well, here's what this prayer is doing. It's proclaiming that God's name is over my life. That as I proclaim God, I'm holding up His banner. That His name be proclaimed in me. That I'm coming before my God who's in heaven, and His name I proclaim. And we talked about this in Sunday school just earlier. It's amazing when you see God and you talk about Christ. He says, if you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. But if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you, you know? And a lot of times in our life, I think we're afraid sometimes to tell people that we're praying about it, or that my God's going to take care of that, or God's going to come through in the situation where sometimes we're not quick to be a testimony or share with God how He comes through in our life. But as we go through our prayer, one of the things to do is proclaim God's name over our life. That, hey, I'm here, and I'm trusting in God, and I'm asking you to involve in my situation, and I want you to know that it is God's name. He will be hallowed. He will come forth. He will shine through this. That His name will be hallowed, no matter what the outcome may be. And I find it amazing that He does this even before God answers His prayers, right? And a lot of times we say, God, answer my prayers, and then I'll shout your name from the housetop, right? But if you don't answer my prayers, right, you're not going to hear me shout God's prayers. No, He says it from the start. God, if you answer, or when you come through, if you don't come through, hallowed be your name. Your name will be glorified and magnified no matter what happens. It is your name that we want to be proclaimed to the earth. Hallowed be your name. In your life, no matter what you're going through, God's name should always be glorified and hallowed in your life. That's what He's saying. God, sink or swim, your name be hallowed. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Now we talk about a kingdom, we talk about God's work, we talk about His kingdom that is supposed to be here on this earth, that we are a part of His kingdom, to work in His kingdom. And many times we don't really set our hearts or our desires on the kingdom of God because we're worried about our kingdom, right? A lot of times we pray, God, I need help. Hallowed be your name, my kingdom come, right? Like, answer what I want for my own life. You know, I want to be married at this age, I want this many kids, and I want to make this much money, and everything in life is going to be smooth and grand, right? No, it doesn't work like that, right? As we come, we say, not my kingdom, but your kingdom, God. Let it be your kingdom, your will be done. That, like, my life and my will be your will, and your will be done on earth as in heaven. And we talk about how God had a anarchy in heaven. Like, it's not debatable when God tells heaven or angels or any other principality to do something, it's done immediately. It's done automatically. It's done without question. And that our lives should be so much led by God that when He tells us to do something, it's done immediately. Like, no hesitation. Like, God, this is your will. It is for sure. And I'm going to do it, period. No questions asked. Your will alone. 100%. Just as it is in heaven. When you say it, it's done. Period. That's the way I wish it was around my house, right? When we had kids, right? You take out that trash, and it will be done. You walk by, and the trash still there, right? And you got to say it again and again and again and again. It's amazing how many things they can miss. I walk in and out of the garage, and there's trash, you know, piling up, and I walk by, and they're out there playing basketball, and I come out and say, did you guys not see this trash that right here by the door all piled up? And I told you, every time you go by, there's a trash bag, or put it in the trash can, they turn it off. Every time. We didn't even see it there, Dad. Like, really? You had a trip over coming out the door, right? And a lot of times, you know why? Because they're not worried about what I say, right? They're not worried because it's not their will, it's my will and my name. And listen, but with God, when He says it, it should be automatic. There should be no overlooking, no procrastinating, no pushing it aside. If God says it, it's done, period. Signed, sealed, and delivered. It's done. And listen, when we pray, that's what we should pray. God, your will be done. It will be done. No matter what the answer, it will happen. And then we moved on about provision, right? We moved on about provision, talking about give us this day our daily bread. Listen, our walk with God, it's amazing how many times it comes back to a day-by-day walk. Listen, God says not to worry about yesterday and not to worry about tomorrow, for sufficient is the trouble for today. Is that true? It is true. Is we take it day by day, and He says, give us this day. Like when we go to the Lord, we ask Him for this day. God, let this day, each and every day, and give us our provision for this day. God, put me where I need to be. Give me what I need to have, and give me the strength to do what I need to do. Give me this day, and provide my daily bread. Provide my needs. And think about it. How has God provided your needs? Think about it. How many times we go to God and He continually provides for our needs time and time and time again. The great provider. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. We talk about this, how God comes and He says He forgives our debts, that we have shortcomings, we have failures, that no one walks a perfect life. We are not sinless. But as Christians, we do sin less, right? But we are not sinless. That there are going to be times where we have bad attitudes, and we get into impatience, and we don't trust God, and we don't need what we do. We need to be washed. We need to be cleansed. And we go to God and say, forgive us where I failed. Forgive me of where I did not do your will for my life. God, trust me. Forgive me. Give it to me, God. And we go to God and we forgive as we forgive our debtors, as we are offended. As others let us down, as others come and do something to us, we forgive as God has forgiven us. And we pray, and we seek God, and we ask Him to forgive as we have been forgiven. Then, last week, we moved on about, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That there is a real temptation out there in life. That this world system and these things that God, that the devil has put in our lives, He is put it in motion, and we are easily led astray by the things of this world and things that we have. And we pray, do not lead us into temptation, meaning do not bring me along that path, God. Help me to keep me from those temptations. Because we all fall in those temptations. And I've said this before, in life, you know, the devil has traps for each and every one of us. He does. And he's crafty. You know, one thing I got to do, when you go to the lake, you go out fishing, you know, you get to do fishing, right? And then, and every time with kids, you know, after the first couple casts, where they always say, we're not catching anything. Like, listen, we're fishing. We're not catching, right? As if we're catching, first time you throw it out there, you'll bring something in. We're fishing, meaning that some days you got to use a different kind of lure, a different kind of hook, a different kind of worm, a different kind of thing. You always constantly got to change it to trick them. And you might put something by that fish and he might not bite on. The next time you put something else on there, and that's the right one for that fish, and boom. And before he knows it, you set that hook and you got him, right? Listen, it's the same way Satan does. He's got traps, and he's got lures, and he's got all sorts of sizes, he's got all sorts of things, and he puts those things out there, and he's constantly drawing you away from God because he knows he can't have your salvation. But if he can't have your salvation, he wants your testimony. That's what he wants. He wants to ruin your testimony and ruin your life. And so he has one will for your life, to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. That's all he wants for your life. And he knows if he can get you off path, he can pull you away in the temptation. Temptation gives birth to sin. And when you get into sin, he knows that breaks your fellowship with God, and he knows he has you right where he wants you. And that's why we must pray, God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. God, keep me from his curse. Keep me from his way. And then the doxology, for yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now this was added on to, in Matthew here, we talk about, but it really is just a doxology. It's really just the ending, kind of like the ending of the thing. For yours is the kingdom and the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. Think about it. It begins with God, and it ends with God. That's the way prayer should be. Prayer should begin with God, and it should end with God. A prayer that starts in heaven gets answered in heaven, right? Listen, prayer is not getting your will done on earth. It's heaven getting his will done on earth. That's the way it should be. And he comes to the end now, and he says, listen, for yours is the kingdom, God. For yours is the kingdom. This is not for me. This is not for my will. And anything we pray should not be selfish in the point that we should want it for ourselves, but for the glory of God's kingdom, that it must be done for his kingdom. Let me tell you, if you pray for anything that's outside of the will of God, God's not going to answer. He ain't going to do it. Listen, that's why when we pray, we must be sure we're praying for his will and his kingdom for our lives, because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about him. That we must pray that it fits in his kingdom and his strength, that it must fit in his will for our lives. And it's a good reminder, because a lot of times we get to praying and we're asking God and we're seeking God and we really want something. And God says no. We get upset because we get mad and we think, God, this is not right. Listen, if it doesn't fit into his kingdom, guess what? He's not going to answer that prayer. You know, you can be so foolish to go as far as the nation of Israel. You remember them? They asked God and begged God, and they wanted to be like every other nation out there, and they wanted a king. Remember that? And they said, I want a king, God. You don't give us a king. I want a king. I want a king. I want a king. And God finally says, you want a king? It's not for my kingdom, but if you want a king, I'll give you a king. And you remember which king they gave him? He gave King Saul, right? And Saul persecuted and tormented. Listen, sometimes when we beg and petition God, and we move beyond his will, he'll give us something that we really should never have. And it ends up tormenting us, right? Mm-hmm. It ends up going back and looking the same. And listen, sometimes we pray for a car, and we want this 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 car. And next thing you know, you're paying for a car that doesn't even run anymore. You ever been there before, right? Or you want some type of thing, and you want it so bad, and finally you give it up, and it's for your kingdom. It's not part of his will. And yet you want it so bad, you go ahead and do it. It ends up coming back to bite you. Listen, when you get done with your prayer, you should be able to say, God, if this doesn't fit in your kingdom, I don't want it. Don't answer it. This is for you, God. If you fits in your kingdom, I want it. If it doesn't, don't do it. It is for your kingdom. So yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power. Think about that. Your kingdom and your power. This is your power. For yours is the power. Let me tell you, to live a supernatural life takes supernatural strength. Listen, you can't live a spiritual life in the flesh. You can't do it. You can't be a successful Christian in the spiritual side of life living it through the flesh and the power of the flesh. You can't do it. You can't. It's impossible. And when we come to praying to God and we come to it, and when we come to God's kingdom, we must do it in his power. That he empowers us. He gives us the power to exist. He gives us the power to do the things that we need to do, because it is for his kingdom we need his power. And listen, anything you do for God, the power of God's available for you. It is. It's available. Now, we always have the choice either to do it or to not do it, right? Because a lot of times we pray for God's kingdom and his will, and then we go ahead and do it in our own power, our own strength. And guess what happens to it? It fizzles out. So we got to pray for God's kingdom, but we also got to pray for God's power. That in our lives we have his power. That we have his power to fulfill his will for our lives, that no matter what we come against or what we go through, we have his power and his strength to lead us and to guide us and pull us through. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. See, the bottom line is that God wants the glory as well. Listen, he gets the glory. And listen, when we get saved, we turn our lives over to Him. It's all about Him. It's all about His kingdom. It's all about His power. It's all about His glory. And how many times do we pray and seek God? He answered our prayers. And then it's time to give Him the glory for it, and we don't give Him the glory. How many times does that happen? How many times does it happen in our lives where we pray and we seek God and we don't end up giving Him the glory? Let me tell you, when we get God's answer prayer, we should be the first one shouting from the housetop, God, to God be the glory. God's glory. How do we have this job? God gave me this job. How am I surviving this marriage? God gave me this marriage. How am I taking care of my kids? Because God gives me the power and the strength to this. How am I providing for my family? Because God has given me this. And God, we've got to give Him the glory for it. Time and time again. And it is His power, His glory, His kingdom, and His glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen, whatever's done, it's got to be for His kingdom and His power for His glory. You see that? I mean, you think about it. Your life, in your life, it should be for His kingdom and His power for His glory. That's a pretty good testimony. If you could sign your prayers like that, let me tell you, you're doing a good job of praying. No matter what you pray or desire in your life, it is for His kingdom, done in His power, for His glory. And listen, as we pray through this thing, we look to our lives, that should be our goal. That should be what we look for, and that's how we should have power in our prayers and power in our lives to walk for His kingdom and His power and His glory forever and ever. Amen. That's what the model prayer is saying is we think about it. We think about our own prayer life. Why is it so weak? Why is it not where it should be? You know, this week, Courtney, I got to eat lunch with Courtney. And she, you know, as most times, she loves bubble gum. You know, she likes bubble gum. So, you know, she buys all this bubble gum. She buys all stuff like that. So she'll buy it. And sure enough, after about five or six chews, guess what? And all the taste is out of it. She goes, she'll have to throw it out the window, throw it away. So this week, she got a couple pieces of gum. She threw it around. She chewed it out. She goes, Daddy, can I throw this out the window? It's like, why? You just put it in your mouth. She goes, yeah, but the flavor is gone. I said, the flavor is gone. She goes, yeah, there's no more flavor. And I said, well, okay, well, you can throw it out the window. She threw it out the window. She looks. She goes, Dad, why does bubble gum lose its flavor? She said, why does it always lose its flavor? And I thought to myself, I said, well, it loses its flavor because you put it in your mouth and you chew it up. And you suck all that juice out of it, all the sugar out of it, everything, and all that's left is just a big old wad of made-up gum, right? This big old wad of half plastic, half whatever they make it out of, right? And I think to myself, no wonder why it loses its flavor, right? And as I was beginning to preach and think about and talk about this lesson, I was thinking about our prayer lives. You know, why does so many Christians' prayer life lose their flavor? Why? You know, why does it lose its flavor? You know, why does our prayer life lose flavor so much? You know, so many times we go through a trial and God puts us through something and we really get serious with prayer. And man, we start praying and praying and praying and praying and we're seeking God. And the moment that begins to turn and begins to bless us and things start going good in our lives, guess what? All that prayer and all that seeking and all that desire begins to lose its flavor, right? And next thing you know, you're just walking through life and you have no flavor in your prayer. You have no power in your prayers. We don't pray like we should, and we're not praying when we should. We're not praying with that desire. And many times in our life, it just leaks out, and it's gone. And before we know it, we got to throw it out the window, and we got to start over, right? We got to get another piece and begin again and again and again. And we constantly got to refuel and begin the passion again for prayer in our lives. And that's what my prayer is. As we've prayed through this and we've studied through this, I pray that your passion, your desire for prayer has been lit again. That in your life, that you want that passion for prayer. You want that desire for prayer. You want to see things change in your life. Listen, it's a great, great thing for us when we get alone with God and just fellowship with Him. And you know, if you want to keep that passion of prayer, you got to have a place to go. Listen, I've been praying for a long time. And if I don't set aside a space or a place that I go to pray, usually it won't happen. Now, I know you can pray on the run. You can pray while you drive. I hope you pray while you drive, right? You can pray while you're doing all these things. But there needs to be a specific place that you set aside just for you when you go to pray. Now, Dr. Charles Stanley, I don't know if you read some of his books, but he loves solitude. And he has a place that he goes with no light, no sound, no nothing. And course, you don't have kids at home. But anyways, yeah, he has no sight, no sound, no electronics, no nothing. And he gets alone with God in a room, and he gets alone with God in solitude, wherever that may be. You got to find that place. You got to find that place where you can go to get alone with God. There has to be a place. And then there not only has to be a place, but there's got to be a time. Some, you know, I've heard people say, well, if you don't pray first thing in the morning, you know, it's not very powerful. Let me tell you, God answers prayers 24 hours a day, okay? Listen, if you're not a morning person, then it won't do you well to get up in the morning and pray, because all you'll think about is wanting to go back to bed, okay? Like, so if you're a morning person, so be it, right? If you're a morning person, you get up early in the morning, and you seek God early in the morning, you really do good praying early in the morning, that's great. But if you don't do good early in the morning, maybe it's in the middle of the day. Maybe once all the kids are gone, or maybe once you get a little time, you get it by yourself, you got to have a time, though. You got to set aside a time. Maybe in the evening, after you go to bed, or when you lay down for bed, or whenever, maybe you got to have a place, and you got to have a time, and you got to make it, and you got to make it a priority. I can tell you with prayer, if you don't make it a priority, you won't do it. You won't do it. It's like anything else in life. It's not only is it a devotion, but it's a discipline. And if you don't make that time and you don't say, at this time, I'm stopping whatever else I do, and I'm going to make it a discipline, you'll go one day without praying, and the one day turns into 2 days, and the 2 days turns into a week, and a week turns into a month, and before you know it, it's been a year before you've even got alone with God to pray. Listen, I know it's tough because we got all sorts of devices, and we got all sorts of things to keep us connected with the world, but don't neglect the connection with God. That's the connection with God. And if you're in a relationship with God, the communication is the number one thing in relationships. And if you don't have that communication with God, let me tell you, your relationship with God is hindered severely. You're hindered severely. And so I pray, as we've studied this, it's lit your passion for prayer. And I pray, as you look at this, and you go through this thing, many times when I pray, a lot of times I'll just use this for an outline. I'll just use one word, use one line, and begin to talk about things in my life and all the things I need to be provided for. And I talk about all the things I need for protection. And I talk about all the things that I've done wrong. And I talk about all the things that have done me wrong. And just use it as an outline and go through it and just say, God, you know, you're my Father, my Heavenly Father. God, you are in heaven. You rule. You reign. You have the resources and the strength and the wisdom that I don't have. And I'm coming to you for your name and your name's sake, because I want you to be glorified. I want you to be hallowed. I want people to look to me and say, that's a good God and a great God. And I want your kingdom and your will for my life and not my will, God. But I want it to be done in my life as it is in heaven, God. Give me this day my daily bread, God. God, provide for me today on the job. Provide for me in this situation. Provide for me for the strength and the ability. And go through the prayer and just use it as an outline to go through it and to seek God and to come before Him and open your heart to Him and have power in your prayer. So that said, my prayer today is that we ask God to light that fire again. To put, so to speak, a new piece of gum in our mouth, right? To taste that flavor again. To say, God, that's good. I want more of that, God. I need that in my life because mine is stale. Mine has lost its flavor. I want that flavor again. Let's pray together.